Let me tell you about a product that I am using personally, and I really think this works. You know, beetroot juice has been used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, and studies show that it can increase athletic performance and stamina by 16%. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com, and you can get a 30-day supply free of this great product. It comes with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. 800-738-2198.
Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here today with Layla Mutin, who's our Hoffman Center nutritionist. We work together on a daily basis to solve patients' problems. And what is our next question, please?
Our next question is from Victoria. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I was recently diagnosed with a candida infection and prescribed Diflucan weekly for 6 months. I wanted to know your thoughts about taking Diflucan for that long of a duration, and of course, any of your own recommendations.
Okay. Diflucan is a oral antifungal medication that I use quite a lot. In fact, I don't use the prescription pad very often, but I'd say a very high percentage of the prescriptions I write are for Diflucan, because it's a pretty benign medication if used correctly for yeast. So here's how I use it. The problem with Diflucan is that it can cause stress on the liver, and it can even, if taken too long, unmonitored, it can even cause severe liver damage. So,
as with many medications.
As with many, but and different strokes for different folks. Some people can take, I mean, for example, there are HIV patients who have chronic yeast problems. They take it every day, and they seem to be okay, along with other powerful medications. But the way I use it, I use it in that fashion that she describes. I pulse it. I use it actually for 3 to 5 days per month. And then I sometimes alternate it with nystatin, which is a medication that's not absorbed into the bloodstream, just stays in the gastrointestinal tract, and it has less toxicity. And then sometimes I'll use herbal botanicals like candibactin. We have a candibactin product from, I think, Thorne, is it?
I think it's Metagenics.
It could be Metagenics.
Okay.
Yeah, Metagenics.
I think so.
And it's candibactin AR and BR. There's two parts to it. One has got berberine and other herbs, and the other one has
essential oils.
Essential oils like oregano oil, rosemary, I think, like that. So with the Diflucan, another problem is that if you take it continuously, you will develop resistance to it as the fungi mutate just like bacteria do. So we find some patients who, after a while, they don't respond well to that. But actually, I have some patients on sort of long-term programs of Diflucan where they will pulse dose it month after month. And I think that's not a bad way to go. I think if she's doing it one day per week, that may not be enough. But
weekly for 6 months.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, different strokes for different doctors. Some doctors might use it that way. I think you might need several days in a row to get the maximal effect and then rest for the rest of the month.
Besides that, she's in good health. She's at a normal weight. She's 38. She's decreased her sugar intake, which is always good to be on a candida-type diet when you're undergoing.
One thing to be wary of is that, you know, sometimes people do that and then they go, well, I feel, you know, my nose is itching today, or my, you know, I'm having a bad day, I'm tired, or, you know, whatever. And they attribute it to candida, and that could be a mistake, because not all problems are attributable to candida. So
that's true.
Beware of thinking, oh, you know, I don't feel good today, I'm going to take my Diflucan. And that might lead to excessive dependency on Diflucan, or unnecessary use of Diflucan, which ultimately can make you more resistant to it when you need it. You know, expose you to the risk of liver problems.
That's true. I remember an old question on a candida questionnaire being, do you feel worse on rainy days? And you know, yes, candida is related to mold, fungi, but it doesn't necessarily mean candida either. Maybe it's the alternaria if it's fall time or something. So who knows?
Yeah, I felt worse yesterday. It was rainy and I got wet. I had a new suit on and it got wet and I really felt bad. Maybe it's the candida.
But it didn't make your nose itch.
I had an umbrella, but I had an inky-dinky umbrella that just wasn't, you know. But But then there are these big, these people in New York with these big honking umbrellas, and they just push their way down the street.
It's like umbrella warfare in Manhattan.
I know.
The big golf umbrellas especially. It's like, how dare
they put like razor blades on the rims of their umbrellas.
It could take out your eye. You've got to be careful. My goodness. Thank you, Victoria, for your question, and best of luck. We have a question, and I don't have a name here. Hello, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. Ever since me and my wife started living together about 7 years ago, my body completely changed. I've had terrible gastro/digestive symptoms, sporadic trouble breathing when running. I feel so bloated and inflamed all the time. I've had just about every test and tried all diet modifications, supplements with no results. My wife is Afro-American. Could I be allergic to her? LOL. Thanks.
Okay, at least he wrote LOL.
Yeah.
Because it's a sense of humor here.
Okay.
You know, the reason that I'm permitting us to answer this question is it brings up some interesting issues. First of all, it's an interesting question. It really is an interesting question. Is can one spouse be allergic to another spouse? And
maybe their microbiota don't get along.
That's okay. I'm thinking that too. Is there really is, if you live with someone, you transmit and share bacteria through, it doesn't have to even be through sexual contact, just the proximity.
Just being in the same room.
Right.
Yeah.
So you end up having a similar microbiome. Mm-hmm. Now, hypothetically, we don't know the answer to this. There may be an incompatibility. It may be that a transformation can occur in a person's body due to contact. Now, this absolutely has nothing to do with, you know, ebony and ivory, you know, white and
they
and
don't
black.
Live together in perfect harmony, like
no.
Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder said.
that's the heading for this.
Yes,
right.
It
okay,
is.
That's a good title for this this question. But you know, there is also an interesting phenomenon which fertility doctors sometimes encounter, which is an allergy, as it were, or an intolerance of a woman to a man's sperm. But not all sperm, just that man's sperm for some reason. And therefore, they have to use techniques like sometimes giving steroids or something to suppress the woman's
allergic reaction.
And why that is that it may be an over-exuberant immune system. You know, that's a foreign material that's being introduced into the body.
Yeah.
And so the immune system may perceive it as erroneously as an invader and tried to lash out
bacteria.
And destroy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, you know, is this conceivable? You know, yeah, I guess it's conceivable on a physiological basis. It's also conceivable on a psychological basis because certain symptoms are psychosomatic. We didn't ask about the nature of his the psychosocial dynamic between him and his wife.
Which is important. Because if it's not a great relationship, you're going to feel that in your body too, and you're going to be down and maybe inflamed and who knows.
But also, you know, there's, well.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, actually. But, wow. 7 years ago, and my body completely changed, he says.
Well,
maybe
know,
they should both go on a probiotic therapy.
Yeah, that may change. So the probiotics are a little hard to change things.
Get some microbiome mapping done.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that happens, you know, clearly when men get married, they generally gain weight, you know, because the bachelors generally are less resourceful. You know, and then they get comfortable, and they're less like roaming around, know, and eating catch as catch can, and they tend to.
They don't have to woo their wives anymore. They're married now.
Yeah, it's almost like.
It's like the
Mars rover has landed, you know, and you know we can chill now.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of metabolic slowdown, and changes can occur in the body. You know.
Wow. Anyway, fascinating question. We hope you feel better.
Right, for the sake of racial harmony.
Absolutely.
In America.
Ebony and ivory must get along.
You know, it does beg the question, is, you know, it, is, it, you know, in olden times, we might say this was evidence of like the incompatibility of the races, you know, when there were laws against miscegenation, you know, people would say, well, you see what happens. We're not designed to live together, but obviously we are designed to live together because many couples are, I mean, look at the history of racial intermixture throughout the world. It seems to be a pretty successful experiment.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Wow. Okay, we've got a question from Judy. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for all that you do. I had a question about my daughter. She's 26. She's always been allergic to bites. If she gets any type of bite, mosquitoes, her skin blows up. She seems to be the only one that gets bitten.
I think I might be related to that person.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right.
She also has allergy to bee stings. I'm not sure if this has anything to do with it. Is there anything she could do to alleviate this problem?
Yeah.
EpiPen?
Well, there's clearly a, you know, some people are more reactive to any kind of skin insult. They have sensitive skin.
Yeah.
And that may have to do with the histamine content of their body. They may be overall more allergic individuals. Mm-hmm. I have that trait. And, you know, I'm not particularly allergic to bee or wasp stings. But I do itch like crazy with mosquitoes, and they always seem to go after me.
Oh, no, I feel the same way. But it itches, yeah.
But there is something about a blood-based or scent-based or hormonal-based attractiveness to mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And they're selective about going after certain people.
I heard eating lots of garlic will help. A lot of garlic. But that might scare your friends away as well.
Right, and then you become a complete recluse. Yeah, I don't know if this... I mean, also it was said that if you took riboflavin, that would help, too. That's the the B vitamin,
B2.
That makes your urine neon, magic marker yellow. However, was it niacin? I thought it was, maybe it was thiamine.
Thiamine is B1, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been thiamine. Mm-hmm. That doesn't appear to work.
Okay.
It doesn't appear to work.
Okay. Wow.
But we do have, this is a product placement moment here, Cedarside, which is one of our good sponsors.
Yes.
And I found that very effective at keeping the bugs off. I mean, I would not go tramping through, you know,
the... How do you use the Cedarside?
Well, you spray it on.
Okay.
You could spray it on or rub it on and, prior to going out where there are bugs, and it does repel them.
Great. Without poisoning us.
And I got to say, it's also effective, and I got to, some people may think I'm, you know, the people who are very pro-animal. I did open my mailbox the other day, and to my horror, I found that ants had made an ant nest in my mailbox.
Oh, my.
And, you know, these ants are like coming out of there like crazy.
Wow.
And so... I took a little Cedarside and not even that much. I mean, just a few sprays.
Yeah.
And man, that knocked out that ant nest.
Wow.
And I feel good about it because it's not a toxic poison. It's cedar.
It's cedar.
Yeah.
That if you look at a forest of cedar trees, there's nothing else growing around them.
And that's
all the other plant life is gone.
And
they
that's
are
the
repelled.
Beauty of it. Right. And well, yeah. that's the beauty of it is that. They do that in order to protect them from themselves from insect invasion.
Yeah.
So there's
that's why they're great against moths in our closets and in our
that's right.
Chests.
You put cedar balls.
Cedar.
You put cedar balls.
Yeah.
In there.
Instead of mothballs, you've
which
got cedar
poison.
Planks.
Naphthalene is a very toxic thing. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So and we also use cedar inserts in our shoes because that's antibacterial.
Yes.
So it totally makes sense.
Yeah. And it's natural. Always a good thing. So Cedarside is a great idea.
Cedarside.com. Yeah. It's one of our sponsors. Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, you know, I'm very selective about my sponsors because, you know, there's a lot of people that can. They say, well, can I go on your show? I really want to get there. And I go, I don't know. I can't really.
Yeah.
I'd like to take your money.
Yeah.
Because.
But I don't want to use your product necessarily.
But I don't want to turn my listeners on to it. Gee, you know, it's kind of a moral conflict.
Sure.
But with Cedarside, I can, in very good conscience, do that.
Yeah.
People with pets love it because it's non-toxic to pets and it really keeps the bugs away.
Terrific.
But here's a caution, though. I would not, if you're going to go tramping into like a lime-infested woods,
bundle up.
I think you probably need to use the conventional like the sure. DDT.
And
I mean, not
and,
DDT, I mean the DEET.
DEET or something like that.
Which is bad stuff, but hey.
And tuck your pant legs into your socks and all of that.
But if you're sitting on the patio or something and it was, you know, you're worried that some no-see-ums are going to land on you, use the cedar side because, you know, how many times can you apply DEET safely before you exceed a toxic threshold?
Yeah. And if you do use that, if you do use DEET, you want to, don't go to bed with that on you. You want to shower and get it off
also,
of you.
Also, children very susceptible to the effects of DEET. So they're much more sensitive to chemicals. Their skin is thinner. They don't have as good detoxification mechanisms. Yeah. So, and if, God forbid, if pregnant, forget about it.
Forget
about it.
Would you recommend, like, a daily antihistamine for Judy's daughter?
Okay, well...
Like DHIST?
DHIST would be fine. Tell us about DHIST.
Yeah, DHIST contains nettles, quercetin...
And bromelain.
And bromelain. It's a wonderful antihistamine.
D-HIST.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
DRHoffman.com has that.
Yeah.
The other thing that we're interested in for people who are very allergic, but it's that...
DAO?
Is DAO.
Yeah.
And DAO, diamine oxidase, which actually works in the gastrointestinal tract, more helpful for food allergies.
Yeah. By blocking the histamine reaction, yes. That's also very, very helpful. Best of luck to your daughter, Judy. Thank you for your question.
You know, a trick you can use when you have a bite is, you know, just apply some ice, and it will alleviate that. I will say this, my bites get worse when I have sugar.
And everything gets worse with sugar.
But I could have a bite that I got like 48 hours ago, and it's fine, it doesn't bother me. And then somebody, you know, says, well, here, have, you know, whatever, fruit pop or something like that. Uh-huh. And, you know, it'll start to itch more. It'll kindle it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
And maybe the bugs like sweet blood. I don't know.
Sure. Oh, gosh. Anyway, let's see here. Oh, we've got a question from Jess. I lost 10 pounds last year as a result of food poisoning. I was then treated for SIBO, changed my diet to more animal protein, slowly added back more carbs. I still have not gained the weight back. I'm finished with all of that now, but I really need to regain the weight. Mm-hmm. Any suggestions?
Yeah, this is probably a case of post-infectious IBS or malabsorption.
Yes.
And in fact, there's a new blood test. I forget what it's called.
It's an IBS blood test.
It's actually a blood test that will tell you if your IBS is due to a post-infectious cause.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, which is useful. However, what happens after an infection is it changes your flora and it irritates your gut wall, and it may even set the nerves chattering, sort of. And there may be changes to this person's absorptive ability or even their eating capacity, because if you have IBS, you want to naturally eat less.
That's true, too. And I would imagine that Jess is also proceeding with caution so as not to reinfect or anything. So.
Right.
Keeping a food diary may be helpful in thinking about how you used to eat before the food poisoning incident, you know, but taking care of the microbiome.
I think it's actually,
definitely.
You know, if I had a choice between gaining back 10 pounds and having a balanced GI tract and eliminating SIBO, I think it's healthier to stay on the thin side
and eliminate the SIBO.
And eliminate the SIBO, the small intestine bacterial overgrowth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, taking a good quality probiotic may help as well.
Candibactin, ARBR.
Biocidin even is a nice product.
There's Allicin products that are strong garlic extracts that seem to help that.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But, you know, also tincture of thyme, because it may take, you know, 2 or 3 years after a serious food poisoning episode to settle down.
Yeah.
And some people have lifelong problems that are triggered by a food poisoning episode. And it's not... The bacteria that caused the food poisoning episode are gone. It's just there's an aftermath of that.
Yeah. And if the person... If Jess was already treated for SIBO once, it could be that there's some residual SIBO and maybe it needs to be checked again.
Yep.
And maybe another course of therapy, possibly.
Where a breath test comes in handy for diagnosing that.
Yeah.
We'll do one more quick question.
Best of luck. Yeah. This comes from Michael... Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Do you have any experience using bergamot to lower LDL and raise HDL?
You just researched this, right?
Yes, I did. Seems like a promising supplement for those who need to correct abnormal cholesterol while at the same time avoiding a statin. This is from
and
Mike.
And we have a product that contains that called Cholestapure by
Pure.
Pure encapsulations.
Exactly. And it's got the bergamot as well as plant sterols.
Which are also been shown to lower cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. So bergamot is actually great, I just found out, for raising the HDL, not just lowering the LDL. So
now, we have the example of niacin, which lowers cholesterol and raises HDL, but turns out to have potential hazardous effects and not a lot of benefit in terms of reducing actual cardiac risk. See, I worry about these drugs that are designed just to lower cholesterol, because just by lowering cholesterol doesn't necessarily mean we're going to lower cardiac risk.
Yes.
But there
are a lot of people walking around with cholesterol in the 300s with a zero calcium score.
And conversely, there are people with like cholesterol 146 or major fatal heart attacks.
Yeah. So it's not the whole story.
Right. But bergamot in Cholestapure is something to consider.
And bergamot is that lovely essential oil in Earl Grey tea, one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's just delicious. So enjoy your Earl Grey tea as well.
Drink Earl Grey tea.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good. Okay, so that pretty much sums it up for today's edition of our weekly Q&A with Layla. Remember, on the 24th of June, it's a Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Hoffman Center. Be there, because we're going to have a great webinar on how to address your food cravings.
Do call to reserve your seat, however. 212-779-1744.
And those of you who are listening in far-flung places like South Africa, Singapore, or New Jersey, and you're daunted by the prospect of coming to New York, because New York's a scary place. You know, there's people like...
It can be.
People walk fast and talk fast, and the cars are crazy. You know, you can stay in New Jersey, and within a week or so, we'll put up a video.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is our Intelligent Medicine Podcast.